Jesus, you have broken through to me. You are communicating with me all day long. Please give us the grace to hear and see what you are saying to us. Amen. Well, the Lord approached me right away after prayer, and he said, it's been a long time since you've talked about dancing with me, and some wonder if you still have that relationship with me. Please tell them you do. Please tell them that I love to dance with them, to sing over them, and tenderly rest their heads over my heart. Nothing has changed in the way I've approached you, Claire, but you do not share that, so it would please me very much if you would. Okay. What can I say to that? Oh, dear family, what a sweet gentleman he is when he wants to dance with his bride. I always see myself in a formal gown in the evening on a ballroom floor. There were people milling around tonight as we danced, and it reminded me of a scene from The Princess Diaries, if you've seen that movie. Later, as the music changed to one of the garden songs, with a playful tempo, we were dancing in a spacious garden with islands of flowers all around us. Jesus so gracefully took my hand and joyfully twirled me round and round to this joyful music. And then he played several worship songs, and I entered into worship, lifting my hands, but ever so aware of his majesty. And how he comes to us so humbly, but is still the God of all glory. When he approaches me, I'm smitten by his natural grace and stately demeanor, his penetrating eyes. Yet he is so approachable, so kindly, so intensely taken by a single-minded gaze from his bride. I've always struggled with this concept. One moment he is my spouse and we're dancing, and other moments I'm in the midst of those who are lifting hands and worshiping him. And then there's the presence of Father God and a song that he frequently plays for me called O Daddy God, a cover song by Dominic Chin. It is so moving, and it puts me right into his presence in the throne room. Oh, dear ones, don't be afraid to put your songs on shuffle and allow Holy Spirit to lead you into deeper worship. You will find a list of songs I use on our heartdwellers.org website. But if they aren't exactly to your taste, it's okay. That should not be your prerequisite. Anointing should be what you're looking for. Something that touches your heart, even if it sounds like it's for old fogies. You need to find songs that glorify the Lord that you can sing along with. I even have a notebook with all the song lyrics in plastic sleeves, and I use it every time I come into worship so I can follow along with the words, which, by the way, is a good way to develop your vocal cords if you're a singer. Jesus continued, "What my Father and I enjoy to no end is your sincere worship and gratitude when you sing from the heart, Claire. I wish for you all to sing to me from your hearts, and this practice of letting us pick the songs and the order in which they are played is very fruitful. I long to express my love for all of you in this way. I do want to say to every one of you, I am with you all the time. I am communicating with you all the time. I am never distant. This is a lie of the enemy to cause you to feel rejected, so you will look for comfort from him or things of the world that do nothing to bring you closer to me and eventually can cause you to turn away from me as has happened in the letter Claire will put up in another day or two, to help you understand the enemy's tactics. When I say closer to me, I mean closer to being able to see and understand me clearly. Beloved ones, there is no way you can get closer to me. I live in your hearts. We are already so very close. What is missing is your ability to hear and see me. This is a matter of stillness of heart and mind, and a matter of prayer and training to perceive my voice from your own, the world's, and the enemy's. Gosh, guys, we have so many video messages about that if you check the playlist on discernment. He continued, if you have given me your life, repented of your sins, and sought me with all your heart, know that I am there. If you have given me your heart, I have taken up residence, even as it is written in Scripture. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. That's in John chapter 14. He continued, because we are dwelling together, I hear every beat of your heart, every thought from your mind, every painful loss, and every joyful moment. Once more, I waste no time trying to get your attention and speak to you. Sometimes it is an outward sign. Others, it is an inner stirring and a desire that leads you. The problem comes when you doubt. The devils are masters at manipulating doubt in your minds. After all, they've been at it for 6,000 years, beginning with Eve. Yes, that is good. Get a picture of Eve. She doubted my goodness, and look where it led her, and the rest of humanity. And look where her unbelief led me, to be crucified on the cross. I dwell in the garden of your hearts, my people, and if you doubt my word to you, how can you perceive that I am there? Yet you blame me and accuse me of forsaking you. Don't you see? It is your unbelief that is blocking you from experiencing me. What does Scripture say is the duty of a Christian? And that's in John 6:28. They inquired, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus replied, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent, John 6:28. And my people, this is indeed work, very hard work, because the accuser of the brethren is hard at work with his devils night and day, accusing you to yourselves, and accusing you to me, and accusing me to you, so that you believe the lie that I have rejected you. I am not with you. That's a lie. Is it not written? And then he quoted from Revelation 12:7. War broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." That's Revelation 12:7-10. Jesus continued, "Yes, my people, I wrote this for you so you would know where accusations come from. Accusations, always, 100% of the time, without any doubts whatsoever, come from Satan and his demons. I never, never, never accuse you. Never. I do, however, convict you, and you need to learn to discern the difference between accusation and conviction. I've spoken on this before, but it's always good to have a refresher. Conviction happens in the heart. You feel something isn't quite right. You feel unsettled. It's an uneasy feeling of compromise, like maybe you've missed me. Condemnation almost always happens in the head, and it starts like this. You shouldn't have done that. You're bad. You're stupid and foolish. What were you thinking? Now God's angry at you. You blew it. Now he won't hear your prayers. He's rejected you. Now there is a reaction to those words that does happen inside of you immediately. So you must catch it at the outset, because the enemy will try to duplicate that feeling of conviction when you are under conviction. But the major feeling is condemnation. Feeling badly about yourself, feeling rejected by God, unable to pray, lack of faith that you will be heard. These are all signs of demonic twists to cause you to draw away from me, to cause you to give up on seeing or hearing me, so you will hunger inside for any kind of relationship to fill the empty place inside. The place where all your unanswered questions and insecurities land. A soul can have an entire warehouse of doubts and questions, and I promise you, Satan has an answer for every single one. So he leads you into the New Age, or Islam, or Eastern religion, or secular humanism, which has been used to indoctrinate children into error from a very early age. And these children are now adults in influential positions. I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that these thoughts did not and never will come from me, ever. If you have identified these feelings in yourself, they are from Satan, not me. My reaction to you doing something you shouldn't have done is to come to you tenderly and hold you, because I know how badly you feel for betraying my trust or failing in your efforts to please me. And when you do embrace me, confession and conviction will come spilling out of your heart. I will forgive you, and you will finally have peace, along with the resolution not to make that mistake again. Lessons are not easily learned, my precious ones. Habit patterns tend to dominate your actions, and these habits must be retrained to correspond with godly behavior. And this takes time. You are so hard on yourselves when you fail. I am not that hard on you, because I know how weak you are. You can be made stronger by my grace, but it requires you to never criticize or judge another soul. The actions of a soul may be wrong, and it's permitted to disclose that only in extreme necessity. But as far as the person goes, never judge them. You just don't know what kind of pressures they are under or what their thinking is. I am the only one who knows those things. So to review what I want you to retain, dear ones, if you feel badly about yourself or that I will no longer hear your prayers, recognize this is from the enemy and renounce such lying thoughts. Then turn to me with your whole heart and beg forgiveness. Ask for the strength not to repeat this sin. And if you're working with other souls, be sure to return to them and put them back on the right path. Otherwise, you will spread error and make the problem of self-condemnation much worse. Remember, I dearly love you, each and every one. You can never be replaced in my heart by anyone else, and I am always communicating with you. Please, learn to hear me. Pay attention to a heart rock lying in your path. Pay attention to a balloon blowing right into you. Pay attention to a scrap of paper from a candy bar saying joy. Pay attention to the song in the supermarket when you're shopping. Pay attention to the songs I shuffle to speak to your heart. Please pay attention, my dearly beloved one, and listen very carefully. Then you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am truly there with you in your heart, by your side, and forever holding you close to my heart. You can never be replaced. You are one of a kind. Oh, bless me with your love. The world is dark and cruel, and I need your love, just as you need mine.